So if y'all have y'all Bibles, can y'all turn with me to Mark chapter 5, and we'll start reading there. As y'all are turning there, I just want to kind of, you know, just talk about some stuff about the 4th of July, just because we just came from it. And the 4th of July is a holiday that's purpose is to celebrate the ratification of the Declaration of Independence by the Second Continental Congress on July 4th, 1776. Usually with my family, we blow up fireworks on the 4th, and usually it gets kind of crazy. So I love the 4th of July. It's probably my favorite holiday because I get to blow Roman candles at my friends and, you know, tear it up, even though we ain't supposed to do that. So it's pretty fun. One thing that I just kind of felt the Lord just kind of speak to me about with independence is its actual definition. I looked it up and it said independence's meaning is the state of being free from the control of another person, country, or entity. And I just feel like the Lord wants to take us there today in just independence, but we'll get to that. Are y'all there with Mark chapter 5? All right, we'll start in verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of God, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, what is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. So before we even get started, I just want to tell y'all that Jesus has the power to set you free. How many of y'all know that today? No matter what you're going through, Jesus has the power to set you free. No matter where you've been, Jesus has the power to set you free. And I just believe that the Lord wants to take us there today. But first, he wants you to realize that he is the Lord that can set you free, right? So the first thing that I want to say is Jesus met the demon-possessed man at the perfect time. It says that the man was at his worst, and I believe that the Father showed up at the exact same time just because it was at the man's worst point. So I feel like the Lord gets more gratification that way. I feel like he's showing that even if you're at your worst, I can still show up for you, right? The Bible says that the man could no longer be contained, and that he would harm himself with stones and he would cut himself. That sounds brutal, but that's what it says. So, yeah. The Bible also says that the man was locked up in chains. So, in order for him to run to the Lord like he did, he literally had to break through those chains to get to him. And I feel like sometimes you have to break through chains to get to the Lord, right? Sometimes the enemy will have chains that he's set up, but we have to break through those to get towards the Lord. So it just really stuck out to me that he had to break through those chains because we have to do it ourselves. But when he saw Jesus, things began to shift. That man, he was out of his mind until he saw the Lord. That man, he did not know what was going on until he saw the Lord. They said that nobody could even get close to him, right? So whenever Jesus saw him, though, or whenever he saw Jesus, things began to shift. His mindset no longer mattered. None of the things of this world no longer mattered to him. The only thing that mattered is that Jesus was right there in front of him. Jesus was on the throne. He knew that he was there. Jesus was there to set him free. And the Lord knew exactly what was going to happen that day, right? So, he's seen the one who could give him freedom. He's seen the one who could provide hope. So, Jesus' presence is the one that provided a glimmer of hope for the man. The demons knew Jesus' true identity. And I think that that is so interesting because you would think that even though he was a terrible like entity, the entities that were in him were so bad, they still had to bow before Jesus. They literally begged for Jesus to not throw them somewhere else or throw them into the pit of hell, right? So what I want to say is that the Lord has all the power. Nothing can be in front of him or ahead of him. He has everything. Everything has to bow before the Lord, right? So the second thing is, Jesus knew what the demon-possessed man needed before the conversation started, right? But he still asked the demon what his name was. And that's interesting to me, right? So I want to talk about something before we get into this, just because I feel it and I don't want to run ahead. So at Camp Jackson, we have these golf carts, right? I'm going to just tell y'all a story real quick. It's terrible on my part, but so we have these golf carts, and it was around the third day of work week. We came out there and we were like, let's drive them in the backfield for some reason. We were like, let's go back there and do some donuts. You know, Pastor Brooks isn't here. You know, he probably wouldn't mind. Worst idea of my life. Worst idea of my life. That's what I'll say first. But so we go back there and do donuts in the backfield, and there's about like six or seven golf carts back there, and the backfield is probably like 50 feet maybe. It was terrible. So we're doing donuts back there, and then I run into somebody back, like my golf cart, the tail wiggled on the back of it, so I just ran straight into somebody. And then next you know, we were like, yeah, we're done. We're done for the night. But funny thing that happened is we drove the golf cart back down to where we park them at. And then we were like, something don't seem right. Because I drive it, and then all you hear is just the golf cart. Like the tire rod was just shot. But I was just praying on the way there. I was like, God, please, no, no, surely not. No, no, there's no way that this just happened to me, because I can't do this right now. So the next day, we tried to hide it from Pastor Brooks. We tried to, you know, make sure that, you know, everything was fine. We were like, surely isn't that messed up. Like, we could get Pastor Jared, which is our groundskeeper there. We could get him to fix it in the shop, and we'd be perfectly fine. But we had walkie-talkies, so I just hear over the walkie-talkie, Pastor Jared, he says, it's a busted tire rod. We can't do nothing. My heart literally dropped. Like, I couldn't work the rest of the day. Like, I was sweating. It was bad. I was like, yeah, I'm going home. I literally started to pack my bags. I was like, Pastor Bruce is going to kill me. So the main thing is, though, that I want to tell y'all with that is, Pastor Brooks, whenever he came up to me, he knew exactly who had did it, but he talked to all of us as a group. He said, I wasn't going to single you out, but he said, I love that you are honest. He said, I love that you absolutely, like, told me the truth. Like, you didn't just, you know, like, try and hide away, even though we kind of did. But that second day, I was like, I give up. So I already knew that it was over. So after that meeting, I just went up to him. I was like, hey, sorry about this. But the way that this correlates to the message is, I think the reason why Jesus did this is so the issue could be spoken out loud and to where the man could tell the truth. So what I mean by the man could tell the truth is, sometimes every single time that you're dealing with something, you got to speak it out to the Lord, because he knows exactly what you need, just like how Pastor Bruce knew exactly what had happened, but he wanted me to speak it out and tell the truth. So the Lord wants you to speak it out and tell the truth. Sometimes we might be dealing with things and we're just like, well, I'm going to just keep it inside. But as soon as we let it out, the Lord can start doing things. As soon as you admit it, the Lord can start doing things in your life. So my thing is God already knows what you're dealing with. So why not be real with him? Why not just let him come in and do what he does, right? So basically, the last thing that I want to say about this is, the Lord knows exactly where you're at. He knows where you've been. He knows the exact way that you could be healed. He knows the exact way to heal you, just like exactly what to do with these demons. So as Case comes up, I just want to recap what I've just said in just basically like two sentences. Is A, the demon-possessed man met Jesus at the perfect time and nothing else mattered, right? And then B, Jesus knew that the demon-possessed man, he knew what the demon-possessed man needed at the exact time that he needed it. And he still asked the demon what his name was, even though he knew what it was. So, yeah, the last thing that I want to say is, Jesus has the power to set you free. Just remember that. So,
all Rock Church, can we make some noise if it's good to be in the house today? Come on, make some noise if it's good to be in the house today. Come on, I'm going to push you a little bit today. Is it good to be in the house today? I said, is it good to be in the house? All right, I'm going to push you. I just had to see if you were here. All right, but I'm a roll with what Jeremiah said, and I'm going to talk out of Mark 5 today. I'm going to start in verse 7. So if you're there, that's where we're going. All right, so it says, he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." And so that takes me to my third point. You have to invite, you can go ahead and like flip it or whatever, you know. The Lord wants you to invite him in. See, the demon-possessed man, he didn't, my God, I'm stressing out now, guys. I got all hyped up and then forgot what I was going to say. He said, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Do not torture me." The Son of the Most High God and King of Kings wants your heart. He wants your values. He wants your soul. He wants it all. But you got to let him in. You got to let him into your heart. He's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to press himself on you, because that's not love. That's not love. Our God loves us, so he's not going to make you want him. Our God loves us, so he's not going to press himself. He's not going to make him your God. You got to choose him. You got to want him back. So you got to invite the Lord into your life. And we all have our messes, and we all have our insecurities and problems and all that. But are you going to let the Lord come in and give you freedom from those things? Are you going to let the Lord, are you going to have faith in the Lord that he can give you freedom in those insecurities, in those problems, in those messes in our life, those deep, dark secrets that we have in our heart? Are you going to let the Lord in, or are you going to let him give you freedom? So I just want us to all imagine. I'm going to let it go back to like kindergarten. Can we all just use our thinking caps and imagination today? So where Ravi's from in India, they have arranged marriages. 90% of marriages in India are arranged, which means you do not get to pick who you marry. Your families arrange it and you pick. You have 90%. So Ravi, Sam, I hate to break it to you, dog. You probably ain't going to get to pick who you want. but can I tell you, that's not what the Lord does, because that's not love. That's not love. The Lord wants you to choose, because that is love. And so, he gives us the chance and the opportunity to choose him and give him the freedom if you want it. But you got to want it. So then I have another story to go along with that. It's in Mark, but I'm going to talk about it in John 6, 1 through 14. You don't have to turn to it, because I'm going to just keep rolling. But it's about, many of you familiar story, probably Sunday school, a lot of people hear it. It's about when Jesus feeds the 5,000 with a boys' lunch, a big old group's there, and they gotta be fed, but they have no food, and they don't have enough money to feed everybody. And everybody's kind of freaking out, like, oh my God, dude, what are we gonna do? It's like if we didn't have breakfast today for everybody, like, what were we gonna do? And so Jesus, you know, he's Jesus. So a boy came up, said, here's some loaves and here's some fish. He had faith that Jesus was going to provide for everybody. And Jesus broke, he blessed the food, and he gave everybody food. And everybody was fed. 5,000 men, and everybody was fed, and they had extra. So I'm saying today, if you would let Jesus in, give him your problems, give him what you have, today he can do something that you didn't even know was possible. You didn't even know that could happen. But my Lord, my God does know that's possible. And he does know that can happen. But you just got to let him in. And so that takes me to the fourth point. Is there freedom in your faith? Is there freedom in your faith? I'm going to say it one more time. Is there freedom in your faith? The demon-possessed man, like Jeremiah said, ran to the Lord because he knew he could be healed. Because he knew what God was capable of. When he saw him, he knew stuff could change. Stuff that did happen don't gotta happen no more, because my God can fix him. My God can heal him. My God can set him free. It says 2,000, when God released the demons, 2,000 pigs fell over dead into a pond. That's how many demons were in him, and they all bowed before the Lord. I'm saying that he had faith in his freedom that God would set him free from those demons, and they were gone. And then in Mark 5, verse 15, it says, when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. It says he was perfectly sane after he just had 2,000 demons in him, and he was perfectly sane. So you're telling me you're scared. I'm scared too. It's hard, man. I have doubts, and I have trouble to give God what I'm struggling with, because I'm scared of what's going to happen. I'm scared of what happens if it doesn't, if I don't get that freedom. But can I tell you, when you give that doubt up, when you give that up, he's going to come through. Because doubt, actually, I heard this at Simonton. When you got doubt in your mind, you can't give it all fully to the Lord. You're not thinking about the Lord. You're thinking about what's not going to happen. And so when you eliminate doubt, and when you fully are on the Lord, and you have faith in your freedom that the Lord is going to come through, and that the Lord has the power to set you free, that freedom will come. That our God has the power to set you free. And the devil is going to tell you, no, he doesn't. The devil is going to tell you that it's too late. You're too far. You're too far into the thick of it. It's too gone. You're done messed up too much. It's over. But can I tell you, when he said I was lost, the Lord said I was found. When he said I was broke, the Lord said I was whole. When I was an orphan, he called me his son. When I was lonely, he gave me a father and a friend and someone to call my own. Can I tell you that the Lord wants you today, and that he wants to see you, and he wants to give you the freedom, but you got to have the faith. I feel like someone in the room today could need to let the Lord back into their life, that they've drifted too far, or they've got some clutter. It's a very common word. Clutter that they need to get out of the way to let him back in. So in a little bit, that might be what we do. I don't know. We'll just see. Miss Kate, can you come play? Thank you. Hey, let's give it up for Miss Kate. She did great on the slides too, everybody. She did the slides too. Pretty cool. In an instant, the Lord can take what was broken and make it whole again. In an instant, your life can be complete, utter darkness, and it can be the light. In a 180 direction, it can be completely changed for the better. When you thought it was gone and hopeless, he gave you hope. Can I tell you the Lord wants to do that today for someone? Can I tell you the Lord has some faith in somebody that he wants to give you freedom, that you got to have him back and you got to accept him? Jesus has the power to set you free. Dang, I kind of flew through that. I ain't gonna lie. I got a little hyped up, boys. My bad. It's like Jeremiah said earlier, the issue needs to be spoken aloud. You got to know what you're going through, and you got to know what the problem is before you can just start throwing stuff away. You got to know what's wrong internally and what you're dealing with. You got to know. You can't just go. It's like, you just got to know. You know, like the tire rod. He had to know it was a tire rod to be fixed. You can't just go take the whole cart apart. You got to know. And so I feel like the Holy Spirit is putting some stuff on people's hearts today that you just need to declare a victory and take back what was lost. Take back the victory from sin and death, that the Lord is giving you light and freedom today. And I just feel like today that could really happen for us and get some victories back. I really do.